SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at the website as well, stevebick.com. And day two of Royal Ascot. And the opener today in 30 minutes. Right? 30 minutes. Move this out of the way. The Queen Mary, and this one holds immediate interest, of course, because we've got three North American interests that we're going to openly root for, right? Yeah, why wouldn't we? Artos, Quick Susie, and Twilight Gleaming, winner at Churchill in May, over Boar, who came back and of course, won the stake in New York. 10 days ago, whatever it was, I think it was on the Thursday, right? Thursday or the Friday, one of the 2 year-old races, and Artos was 7-1. Frankie Dettori sees fit to ride, as they say, and of course Twilight Gleaming, one of Wesley's big chances with Johnny. This is the Stone Street National Defense filly that romped when moving to the turf at Belmont in May. Twilight Gleaming, wearing the 19. For those that are going to bet and box them all up, Artos is the one. And then the one that you may be a little bit less familiar, the one that got way less attention, it seems, coming into the week, Quick Susie, a profitable filly trained by Gavin Cromwell for Eclipse. Aaron Wellman and partners, 8-1. And let's, with that in mind, let's pull up the board as we start to look. And I'll tell you at the same time that yesterday, smashing success, of course, for the long shot lad, the one and only Kev Humphreys. And yeah, Palace Pier wasn't going to be beatable. And as it turns out, of course, Poetic Flair wasn't either. Those were the two shortest prices and, you know, the heaviest favorites. But Kev's day, Berkshire Shadow coming through, and that Arecibo, if you're an each way better, and the straight try that he gave out as well. It's just a dynamite day, that in the St. James Palace, $200 try for a buck. Great job by Kev to get going. And as he told me this morning, he's hoping to keep the momentum. The three races that came after we got off the air yesterday, they were wacky. And how about trainer Ian Williams with Rishon, paid 110. Yeah, your basic $54 to 1 shot. That came right at noon in the Ascot Stakes. And then you also had a $27 winner, Juan Elcano, that overhauled the favorite, that Patrick Sarsfield, in the Wolferton, paid nice, $27.20. And then you had another big winner, big price winner in the Copper Horse to close things out. And Kev's horse ran okay, and that was Arthurian Fable, ended up fourth. But Amtiaz for John Gosden with the Holly Doyle up. So day one, I think a success on every front. Today, and I'm talking away and not giving you the numbers, let's go to the board and see where things are with about 25 minutes to start day two of this five-day stand. And Artos for Rusty and that fourth partner, other partners, Gene and Brenda Wilkinson, Pat Miley. Or excuse me, I take that back. I've got this completely backwards. Amy Dunn, Pat Harlow, Brenda Miley, and Gene Wilkinson are the partners in Artos. I'm sure they're out of their minds with excitement here. And, you know, the Kodiak, we talked about, you know, two-year-olds with Kodiak. There's also, I think there's two others in this first two-year-old race of the day. There's also Crazy Land for Clive Cox, who's a big price, 35-1. I would watch very carefully the Kodiaks. We've learned that over the last few years. But Artos 9-1 for Rusty, and then heading into the bigger saddle cloths, Quick Susie, wearing 18, Gary Carroll for Gavin Cromwell, 16-1 for the Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners. This is a profitable filly, as we meant. We'll see if she can be super profitable. And then Twilight Gleaming for Stone Street and Wesley and Johnny V, 8-5, taking a ton of money. When it comes to Kev's ideas in here, he understands, and you know, that one of the things that when you read Kev's write-ups, you know, he acknowledges the obvious players, in this case Twilight Gleaming. He likes Eve Lodge, the 8. And Cheer Up Sleepy Jean, who I also saw was a price to consider from a few different people. And then that's the 3, and then Yet. So for Kev, the prices that he's going to utilize, the 8, the 3, and the 22. The 8, the 3, and the 22, and their prices right now. Actually, Eve Lodge scratch. So take Eve Lodge out of the picture and maybe plug in, you know, maybe just acknowledge the Twilight if you're taking swinger bets, if you're, you know, on those lines, you know, maybe just acknowledge that Wesley will have Twilight Gleaming ready. But the other two, Cheer Up Sleepy Jean, 46-1. Ew, 46-1. And his other player, Yet, is 10-1. You get Aiden O'Brien and Ryan Moore for this Coolmore Warfront filly. There's another way to watch Ascot and root for the U.S. Interests, as we say. Let's get Pete. Actually, might as well get Pete in here. Case, and let me tell you what's going on this morning after, you know, kind of a fun, kind of a free form day yesterday, which I kind of expect when you're taking these races. Pete's going to join us, and he's got, you know, tons of experience going over to Royal Ascot, and he'll tell you, you know, how to plan for next year if you want to, you know, make it one of the racetracks, one of the great race meetings of the world that you want to attend. Sid is going to be early today. He's got something in hour two. So Sid's going to join us after the race, after the Queen Mary, and we'll talk a couple of things with Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And then a bit of a surprise or a kind of a fun thing. I'm a sucker for this kind of visit. Claudia Rabstein, and she trains at Fort Erie. They opened the meet yesterday. Claudia seemingly, you know, trains just, you know, up during that season at Fort Erie, sends out 24 to 45 starters a year, it seems. And has, it looks to me like one client, we'll find out a little bit more, but it seems like breeder owner Zig Grinstein's is who she trains for. And she won two races yesterday and finished second in a third. Send out 3 starters on opening day. She has won two races the last couple of years total. So on opening day, Claudia scores twice, and not only for her is it a terrific story to me and owner breeder Zig Grinstein's, but also Jacques-Pierre Mayotte aboard all three. Two wins and a second. So we've just got a few minutes with Claudia, and we'll find out about her background. And I think she trains basically part-time, but that's a special day. She also won one of those two little stakes, those summer sprint cups yesterday. She won the first of them. So, and in fact, Ashley Milieu actually picked her in a mild upset in that beat I think a 2-5 shot in that race. So that'll be fun. We're also going to visit with Jamie Nicholson, and I haven't talked to Jamie in too long. He's published two books since the last time we spoke to him, and one was a very interesting kind of and not an anthology so much, but a collection of stories. 1968, a pivotal moment in American sports. And then most recently, that was last year, and I think it got lost a little bit in the pandemic shuffle. And then most recently, here in the last few months, Racing for America and the Horse Race of the Century and the Redemption of a Sport, and one of the lesser known and lesser appreciated match races in history. And so we'll talk with Jamie Nicholson and get you a couple of summer reading ideas between now and vacation. All right? Jamie Nicholson. Seth in hour three, and I think we'll get Papo in too for the Form to Win recap. And Form to Win, Papo, I think we're going to talk a little bit about Woodbine, and I think pretty good weekend the first couple of days at Woodbine for Form to Win. All right, Kate, no, you're trying. Okay, Case is trying Pete, and let me let him know again. I thought he seemed excited an hour ago. All right, let me here. I'm just going to say KC trying. I also want to do this, and you'll listen in. I'm going to one thing I forgot to do yesterday. Kev has got his plays that he lays out, and yesterday I forgot to retweet him. So let me get that. The analysis is up at the website, though, and you can thumb through. I mean, and if you just are enjoying this for fun and punching up numbers at your own, for your own amusement, well, that's fine. And if you want to play along with Kev's plays, you could do that too. Just punch what he's basically betting about $30 a race. So here you go. I'm going to retweet that. And I've also got to give you Dick Powell's play today. Dick, I know yesterday he kind of went along with a few people looking for that middle-priced shot in the St. James on Chindit. Today, in the second race, Dick is looking for the 11 ruling in the Queen's Vase. All right? That's the mile-and-a-half group two. Today, you've only got the one Group 1 race, the Prince of Wales, and that's a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Turf, all right? And after that, you've got three Group 2s that start the morning, the Queen Mary, the Queen's Vase, and the Duke of Cambridge. Duke of Cambridge, a nice mile event, Queen's Vase, a mile and a half, and, of course, the Queen Mary for the two-year-olds. They're going to go 5 furlongs. And just looking, actually, the last few years, this is a race that Wesley has, gone after. Lady Aurelia won this 5 years ago. And, of course, last year, Campanelle. And what's interesting, actually, I'm just looking at the other winners. Acapulco, too, I should note. It's interesting that the last 10 winners of the Queen Mary, it's showing prior start. Listen to this. This is amazing. Campanelle was coming out of the Gulfstream Maiden Breaker. Raffle Prize the year before, a Chester Maiden Breaker. Signora Cabela, a Marygate Maiden Breaker. Heartache, a Bath Maiden Breaker. Lady Aurelia had broken her maiden at Keeneland. Acapulco had been third in a maiden try at Churchill. Anthem Alexander, Maiden Breaker at Tipperary. And then the other three, Rosina at National, Ceiling Kitty at Marygate, and Best Terms in a condition race at Newbury. So the last 10 winners, only one duplicate, Marygate. Two of the winners came out of races at Marygate. Otherwise, nine different venues producing the Queen Mary winner. Also want to do what we did yesterday too, and go to Irish Racing. And yesterday they had a very useful, let's see if they've done it again this morning. I got some declarations toward Saturday. 2 hours waits for downright. I do not see if they've got the movers. Here it is. Here we go. Let me send this. I'm going to retweet this as well. Here are the day two RA market movers, all right? So take a glance at this, and I had not looked at it myself yet, but I will now, and we'll see, because yesterday it was particularly, not only had Kev produced Berkshire Shadow, but yesterday Berkshire Shadow was one of the market movers that irishracing.com had noted as well. So today, here we go. And by the way, weather wise they continue to have absolutely gorgeous weather. I think we've got Pete now. Pete, good morning.
Good morning to you. How are things?
Outstanding. And diving into day two here, and especially with the three North American interests, one thing that proved fruitful yesterday, irishracing.com with their market movers, kind of identifying from the shops, the bookie shops, where money has been gravitating. And here we go. Good to firm, and they expect it even quicker today. Lord North, by the way, has come out of the Prince of Wales, so thanks for that. Love facing five, so they're basically saying the Prince of Wales is kind of a ho-hum. Dancing King, strong in the market for the Queen's Vase at 10.05, has dropped from 12-1 to 8-1 overnight. Double or Bubble in the Duke of Cambridge, that's the third. She's gone down to 6-1. And one thing yesterday, Pete, I don't know if you latched onto this. They say that the high draws, the outside has been the place to be here after a day.
It looked that way. There were definitely more runs being made nearer to the stands, and we'll see if that continues. You would think it would, with the weather continuing to be this summery, firm ground type USA type spectacle. To be a change, though it's possible. I don't know what the final decision was on watering. Very tricky call with rain expected in the next couple of days, but that's one to keep an eye on for sure. Always interesting to see where that money is going as well. In the first here today in the Queen Mary, I'm all about Twilight Gleaming. I think, despite what it seems like is coming from the Ward camp, this feels like the best chance. We've seen over the years that the speed figures speak volumes about how these horses are going to perform over there. And Twilight Gleaming has the best one, made such a good visual impression. This is the race that he's won time and time again and looks very strong in the market. currently trading just above 2-1 on Betfair. I'm going to start off the day pretty simple and see if we can get the USA on the board with Twilight Gleaming.
Well, and of course, yesterday, and I didn't. And it occurs to me, I did not get a chance to send congratulations to David Ross and to Brendan Walsh on the excellent run. They had to be just thrilled. I know Brendan. I saw that he had comments, and they were delighted with the effort of Extravagant Kid getting things going. You mentioned the U.S. side. Of course, in addition to what's happening right now in the next 10 minutes, Wesley also has the pair that's going to go in the Windsor Castle later on at, I think that's what, 12:30, I think. Is that right? Is that, let me see. Yeah, 12:35. And Ruthin is going to be, is being traded very strongly, 5-2 and as low as 7-4. There's also, here's a significant move. Caboo for Carl Burke in the same race in the Windsor Castle has dropped to 7-1 from 25-1. And there was some of that yesterday.
I know a little about that one. There was news from the yard, very confident talk from home that I'm sure has the word has gotten out, as they say. But apparently, just Caboo one was just thriving. I didn't realize the price was gone. I thought I was still maybe getting a chance to wade in at a little bit of a number. But that's how it goes sometimes. I'm still maybe we'll keep on side in exotics. I'm with the idea of Ruthin. Another who just made such a good impression, figure a little bit lower, but got it than the likes of Twilight Gleaming. But got to remember, she came out a month earlier too, and a month is a lifetime dealing with these spring 2-year-olds. I think Ruthin goes with a very big chance, and curious to see how these ward runners make out. I felt like there was a lot of trickiness with the ones yesterday, and today I feel like it's all systems go.
Well, the board, as we turn back, and I've also got to pull up, let me, with just 8 minutes to post, let me get the video posted. I was asked the question yesterday why we're not using, you can't use the NBC, can only use the, the race call, and can't use the copyrighted, without the express written consent kind of stuff. Yeah, you can't just poach, the broadcast. So that's why we're taking the audio feed, because it is, I was joking yesterday with Vance Hansen, Pete, that, when you get the UK feed, like right now, they're running stuff from South Africa. Something Scottsville. I mean, yesterday it was Fairview, and our friend and partner in DT, Steve Carlin, he's with Team Valor, and he said, we've won races at Fairview. He said it's minor league. He said it's not like the more prominent ovals, but it was kind of funny. And they'll basically share the screen, Royal Ascot, with these completely obscure tracks. It's very funny.
Yeah, it is funny. If you don't want to deal with that, you can pick up. I think the Sky coverage is being simuled on the NBC Sports feed, so you can see my friends and colleagues over there. I'm not sure if it's Alex Hammond or Gina Bryce in the chair today. I just threw on the coverage through my VPN here over from the AtTheRaces.com channel. And then TVG's got their own bespoke coverage as well, so you can always go with their pictures and listen to Steve. This morning, lots of other ways to watch if you don't want to deal with the South African stuff. But hey, who knows? Maybe you need some action between Ascot races, and then you can put that GBI feed on.
Well, we've got it up now, and they'll switch over after this race at Scottsville, and let's go back to the board, and with about 5 minutes, I'll print. You know, yesterday it was amazing that I went to print. It must have been 3 minutes to post, and I guess it was Poetic Flair. It must have been Poetic Flair dropped, precipitously before they went off. And I was surprised, given the international pool and the size of it. You know, I didn't.
Yeah, that's a real move.
Yeah. I said they knew in 20 different countries. Here's where we are with 5 minutes and 8-5 currently on Twilight Gleaming. Your nearest price after that is Desert Dreamer, Stuart Williams with O'Shane Murphy. You had a good day yesterday, 8-1 on Desert Dreamer, the 7. Then Artos, actually, is third choice right now for Rusty Arnold and Frankie Dettori. Maybe some Frankie steam, 9-1. After that, it gets into double digits. Yet, the Warfront filly for Coolmore and Aidan O'Brien, Ryan Moore, 10-1. I think there was a second 12-1 on Beautiful Sunshine. Silvestre D'Souza holding the morning line. 14-1, Danny Tudhope and the aforementioned Carl Burke illustrating the 11. And who else is in the teens? Quick Susie for Eclipse, 17-1 and 18-1. Holly Doyle, who had the winner in the nightcap yesterday. Boy, there's a horse that has taken money. White Jasmine. Pete, a Dark Angel filly, looks like for Susan Roy, that has dropped 60-1 morning line and is currently 18-1.
That's definitely some money there, too. I wonder if there's a Holly Doyle factor going on in that international pool as well with that one. There's a few interesting ones at some of those prices you mentioned. Beautiful Sunshine is one I'm definitely going to keep inside. I'm keying everything around the ward favorite here. But Beautiful Sunshine has a good speed figure over there and going out for a yard that's done very well with the two-year-olds. I think I'm going to I'll definitely be backing Twilight Gleaming to win, but I think messing around, maybe even throwing in a little Artos and a little Beautiful Sunshine in some exactas as well might be the way to approach this one. Get Ahead, another that looks a little bit interesting based on the debut run and the barn as well. I think that's how I'm going to play it. Twilight Gleaming on top and bottom with those other three.
Well, and I'll repeat that Kev's with Eve Lodge having scratched, Kev is going to use the 3, Cheer Up Sleepy Gene, and the 22 Yet, and the two of them, and I did see a few other people utilizing Cheer Up Sleepy Gene. Who sang that, Pete?
Cheer Up Sleepy Gene. That's the Monkees. That's a little.
There you go. There you go. Good job. And 47-1, and Yet 10-1. A couple of different options from Kev, and going back, they are milling about, and let's get a little, let me get the audio involved here. We're using some might call it primitive technology, but it's actually quite effective. So we're going to listen in, and then after the race, Pete, I want you to explain to people how they make plans. The interest in Royal Ascot is just, you know, ballooned, and of course last year and this year too difficult for anybody nobody last year and 12,000 a day this year. But I want you after the race to, you know, talk about how to make arrangements to go and what's involved in that.
Absolutely.
And we'll also I want you to recap Monmouth, the Pick Your Prize
contest.
Got
info here too. Yeah, I just got the info on Sunday as well from Brian Skirka. So lots to talk about once we get them off and running in the Queen Mary here. Looks like they're starting to go in on my screen.
They are, and here we go. I'll tell you, the two-year-olds, very well behaved. I mean, these are horses for the most part that haven't run more than, you know, more than once or twice. Here we go. Let's listen in as they load the opener, the Queen Mary Group 2, two-year-old fillies. And best of luck, particularly to Rusty Arnold and team, and Eclipse Thoroughbreds and team, and Wesley and Stone Street.
Orinoco River is in Crazy Land, and Hector Crouch, drawn 13. Still several more to go. White Jasmine and Yet, but like being the next two. Dismounted going behind the stalls, Coup de Force. They might try and load her without the rider. There is Coup de Force. And Jazzy Princess has just unseated Luke Morris, but he's held on to the filly. Nymphadora still to go. The Violet Jacket, Beautiful Sunshine, has gone in. And then Nymphadora. Harmony Rose, Jazzy Princess. And a Coup de Force. So these are the last three. Jazzy Princess again playing up. Harmony Rose has gone in.
Whoa.
Yeah, Jazzy Princess causing a little problem here for Luke Moore. 75-1.
Got the hood on now.
Whoa.
Jazzy Princess is reared again and might have got a knot going right up in the stalls. Luke Morris has gone in as if they're going to try and load her without him aboard, see if that works.
Tough load.
And one more chance, perhaps.
They won't mess around.
Princess.
They'll leave her if she doesn't come around here quickly.
And she is in now, Jazzy Princess.
That a girl.
Without the jockey aboard, Luke Morris now in the saddle. So Desert Dreamer, Artos, and Coup de Force. These are the final three. Desert Dreamer is in. Coup de Force and Artos, the final one. They're set to go. And they're off in the Queen Mary Stakes. And Artos away very quickly indeed over on the far side, showing blistering speed on the near side, on the right. Twilight Gleaming is well to the fore with Nymphadora and Quick Susie also up there. The light blue sash on a black jacket chasing the speed over on the left. The far side is Get Ahead in company with Beautiful Sunshine as the field in two groups at the moment. And they approach the 3-furlong marker. Twilight Gleaming, John Velasquez, Artos, Frankie Dettori, followed by Get Ahead, pushed along Beautiful Sunshine, illustrating the grey in the centre with Nymphadora and Vertiginous. They run inside the two. Shoe is being pushed along in behind in company with Maspadere, and in behind that one, Coup de Force, as they now run towards the last furlong. And as they do so, Artos headed, Twilight Gleaming, Quick Susie, Vertiginous running a very big race. As they run now, Twilight Gleaming and Quick Susie, the first two, heading towards the last furlong. Artos over on the far side, and Quick Susie has taken the measure of Twilight Gleaming, and Quick Susie and Gary Carroll have won the Queen Mary. Twilight Gleaming second, a strong late run from Cheer Up Sleepy Jean to press for third with Artos.
Unbelievable. Congratulations to Eclipse Thoroughbred partners, Aaron Wellman and team. And, of course, they went over with Graham Motion and came close, had good runs, and now a winner in the Queen Mary. And, Pete, this was a very confident ride, I think, by Gary Carroll. Unbelievable. And the American interests, first, second, and fourth, Artos, who was always prominent for Rusty, ends up fourth in here, and the monster price from Kev, Cheer Up Sleepy Gene, ends up third. So 18, 19, 3, and 1.
Incredible run and a great result for the USA, that's for sure. I thought Twilight Gleaming was laying down what was going to be the winning challenge, but I think you're right. The confident ride on the winner produced in the final furlong and is going to go on to get the Queen Mary rather impressively in the end. Ran out very nicely and going on very well at the wire as well.
Very much so, and boy, I can't wait to get Aaron Wellman on. I'm sure they're losing it. Why I'm drawing a blank on the filly, Pete, that one word name. Oh my God, that went over with Grand Motion, and had her career a little bit cut short.
Three-year-old filly. I know
yeah.
exactly who you mean.
Oh, my God.
I'm not coming
she won
up
the Breeders' Cup. The Breeders' Cup.
Oh, she's little... Sharing.
Sharing. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
I was thinking of one from a... I had my head in the wrong place. But, yeah, Sharing was the one that went over last year and ran creditably. But, I mean, hey, nothing beats winning.
No, and I don't know much about the backstory on, and I'll be eager to hear from Aaron about the acquisition and how many they're even campaigning over there would be a fun story. So we'll look forward, and let me go back from the video feed. Well, they've gone on to another great South African. on to Udo Exeter.
little Toxeter action. There you go. Yeah, they it is funny over there. I'm sure there's a nice atmosphere at Toxeter today. People watching Ask It with interest. I've still got the sky pictures on, and Quick Susie looking very nice coming back as they cutting now to a shot of her parading beforehand. Lovely looking thing. And just a huge result. Very, very happy for our pals over there at Eclipse off that one. And for Ward, a good run, but gotta wait for that elusive next winner.
Well, and he'll get his chance later on today in the Windsor Castle, which features another set of two-year-olds. And let me just make sure I got these numbers down right. 18, 19... Cheer Up Sleepy Gene was the 3, and Artos was the 1. 18, 19, 3, and 1. And the final numbers, Cheer Up Sleepy Gene ended up 70-1. So the try, if you're a reverse try key fan, you may have done okay here with the two American interests. Cheer Up Sleepy Gene and Quick Susie was 7-1. 7-1. So very, you're going to get a nice $16-$17 here on Quick Susie for those that we did suggest to boxing up the North American interest. So there we go. Pete, give everybody a roadmap to attending Ask It and how they make the plan and your suggestions.
Well, one of these years, and it could be next year, we're going to be doing something really fun with them that'll make it easy for you. We're hoping to have a contest at Ask It, a la the Breeders' Cup. We'll see. It's not definitely going to happen, but we were pretty close to it before this pesky bug started going around last year, and it's something that I want to bring up again, and that'll be the... That'll be the easiest way of doing it. There aren't, at this point, there's no, like, tours that I know of. You kind of have to ad hoc it a bit. But you're very near London. Heathrow Airport itself isn't that far from where Ask It Racecourse is. I would just build your own. If we don't have something where it's all laid out for you, it's not that hard to build your own trip. And, you know, we could create some content around this next year, too, bring in other Americans and where they've stayed and sharing my own stories. But you have options. You can do, you know, if you're not, if you've never been to London, you've got to do some, I would say you pretty much have to do some London things around it. And if you stay in South London near Waterloo, the train out is the easiest thing in the world. The train back, you have to have a bit of a tolerance for lines, but staying in London and commuting out a day or two, no problem at all. If you're hardcore and you want to do 5 days at the races, I'd say you should stay around the Ascot area. And there's lots of, there isn't like a giant hotel option the way there would be at race courses in the United States. You'd probably be better off looking in one of the surrounding villages and, you know, places like, I'll look them all up to have the real conversation, but one that leaps to mind because it was the name of a horse a long time ago was Bagshot. There's all these weird little, they're not weird, there's all these nice, like, classic villages where you could stay. Or you could stay in Windsor and then just, like, hire a car, essentially, basically meaning get a taxi to take you to and fro. And that's a great way to do it as well. Tons of info on the Ascot website. I would say going for the first time, the Queen Anne enclosure is great. You have to dress fancily by our standards, suit and tie for men kind of deal. But it's not the whole penguin suit royal enclosure getup. Royal enclosure is very tough for non-industry people, but not. It's you used to be able to do it through the U.S. Embassy, but honestly, I would say go to your first time there, especially enjoy the Queen Anne. It's incredible. It's sort of a party before, during, and after. You want to get there. The races start at 2:30. You want to get there around noon, find a nice spot to get lunch, and just prepare for an incredible day's racing. It's really, I think it's a bucket list item for any racing fan. I'm hoping we get this contest going, you know, as soon as next year, and then we'll really be able to help in terms of accommodations and getting over. But don't be intimidated. It's not. There's a few moving pieces, but it's a relatively easy journey, and it's a social event and a racing meet unlike any other.
Well, keep us advised if that comes off, and we'll see if we can't get people involved. We'd love to go over, and have actually had a couple of feelers about. Going over and broadcasting for the week, which would be just awesome. So we'll see. Obviously,
love that.
This year and last year were hopeless. So maybe look ahead.
The first, contest second, would be a perfect hook for that. I think you know
yeah,
that.
There you
that,
go.
You definitely have to be. You have to be involved in any discussions. And I love that idea. It's just a great setup. You know, the weather has to be in your favor. I've had it when it's pouring rain. I've had it when it's 90 Fahrenheit. Both of those get a little tricky, but you know, that's the same with racing anywhere. It's really an experience, and I love the tie-ins with Breeders' Cup as well, with the Win and You're In races, getting more and more of that international cross-pollination. I know you're a fan of as well, Steve.
Well, look ahead to the second. We've got the Queen's Vase next at 10:05. And Pete, before we talk Monmouth, any other pushes? Anything else today that you know you're gonna have a bob?
Yeah, let me look over. Let me pop up my notes here and let you know what I ended up doing. I was actually, this is the day I'm the most prepared for because I was actually on the final furlong podcast with Emmett Kennedy and Kate Tracy. So that was a treat. Getting to go through all this stuff with them. We're also doing daily stuff over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com. In the Queen's Vase, I was interested in Kyprios. Just thought, especially early in the week, I haven't looked at the prices this morning, but that was a good time in the race at Cork, and feel like maybe just wasn't suited by the ground the last day. Kyprios, I think, should go better in the Queen's Vase. I feel like Lady Beaufort is a big move up in the Duke of Cambridge, if only because of how well Palace Pier ran yesterday. I was looking a little bit at Double or Bubble, but the figures aren't quite there yet. Those would be my two, but I think at this moment I'm giving preference to Lady Beaufort. With Lord North out of the Prince of Wales's, I think Armory is probably the one. I don't have a super strong opinion in that race. Really looking forward to seeing Daria's return to the races, as we mentioned about all those Breeders' Cup connections. But, yeah, not a strong opinion there. I might mess around with Armory and Daria. It's a short field, though, and tricky. In the Hunt Cup, I got in these longer distance handicaps. I just reached out to the pro, one of the top 10 pro punters in the UK today, Rob Dove. He gave me Astro King in the Hunt Cup, one that he thought would be very much suited to this straight mile and ran pretty well last time, making up a lot of ground. We talked about the Windsor Castle a little bit. I like Ruthin, and then the Caboo seems to be the steam horse. That's the 5:35, the sixth race of the day, and then the seventh race of the day in the Kensington Palace. Once again, I was just going to follow Dove in. Waliak was the one I was interested in. This one's been going 10 furlongs, held up off slow paces, and should go better in the mile with a fast pace, presumably. She made an eye-catching last run last time. Waliak in the get-out stakes today at Ascot. That's my card marked for you, Steve. Hopefully we can get a few winners.
Excellent. Thank you. I appreciate it. Let's get some results. You went down to Oceanport, and you had Brian had the big contest for the early part of the summer. What went on?
I'll tell you how much fun I had at Monmouth last weekend. I'm working Sunday, so we're doing our Father's Day thing Saturday. I'm going back. I'm taking the boat down. We're going to sit in a box. My mom is coming down. We're going to enjoy another day at Monmouth. Biggest story was Alan Levitt. He ran first and fourth in this contest. So just a terrific result where, in addition to his nearly $11,000 in bankroll, he's going to collect another $16,000, actually more, another $22,000 in cash, plus a BCBC seat. It's even more than that. There was another 10 in there. Huge score for Alan Levitt in the Pick Your Prize contest. Veteran contest player Ken Seaman ran second on Saturday. He gets NHC, BCBC, and nearly $10,000 in cash. Then another super familiar name, Tony Joe, runs third. He'll get a BCBC seat plus another $12,000 in cash. Just rounding out prize winners, I'll just rattle off names. Sean O'Malley, Anthony Matera, Cheryl McIntyre. It was great to see the McIntyres in from Ohio. Even though there was only a third the amount of people that are normally there, it was still so great to see everybody. Matthew Bickey, Kevin Willett, Ed Dyke, John Kaiser, Lawrence Calden, Brett Wiener, Grant Mott, Tom O'Connor, Kevin Engelhardt, Sean Nolan, Stelios Candias, Terrence Cook, Terry Flanagan, Patrick Grippo, Rich Nilsson, Greg Gass, Jeff Boosen, William Rendino, and Stanley Bavlish all cashing on Saturday. And then Sunday's winner, Nick Fazzolari, gets the job done, the NHC seat, and $7,000. Was great to see him down there. Other NHC winners from Sunday, Greg Knepper, Suresh Bonamaboyna was in third, Dave Conover, and Bill Rendino once again. Big weekend for him. Picks up, he didn't get an NHC, but picks up $800 in his live bankroll. So Monmouth once again proving to be a go-to spot for East Coast contest players this weekend.
Always one of the most popular live venues, and Brian does a tremendous job. And I'm glad you had a chance to go down. And it's funny you're going back. I love it.
Oh, it's terrific. Also, Steve, I want to take a second to just remind folks that our Horse Player Happy Hour contest have moved to Fridays. We're going to be back this week. Haven't picked the races yet, but it'll be in that 3 o'clock to 4:45. Window. You can catch us streaming from Breeders' Cup social media or my social media at Looms Boldly. Two extra BCBC seats on the line as part of this tour. $20 buy-in, and all the VIG goes to charity, the TAA and the TRF. I love seeing those at the races. Listeners, really encouraging folks to join us in the comments, give their own selections, let us know what's going on, ask any questions they might have. We're creating a fun little community with these Horse Player Happy Hour events. You can check them out, horseplayers.com.
Very nice, Pete. I appreciate it. I appreciate the warm-up here, getting into the second day of Royal Ascot. Good luck the rest of the day and through Saturday. One of your favorites and on an international basis, one of the highlights of the racing calendar. Pete Fornatel, everybody, looms boldly in the Money Players Podcast and all the associated fun and information at their lineup. So check out, and we'll talk to Pete soon as we get closer and closer to Saratoga. There we go. Pete Fornatel. We'll stay here, and I think waiting in the wings for a little visit, Sid and Sirewatch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill & Dale. Sid, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good, good. We're just taking in Royal Ascot, and pretty nice.
Area, huh?
Yeah, pretty nice result for the American interests. Not necessarily for the for any American breeding interest per se, because this was a Quick Susie by Profitable. Twilight Gleaming by National Defense, Cheer Up Sleepy Jean, Star Spangled Banner, and Artos Kodiak. Kodiak's my big 2-year-old angle at this meeting.
Well, what you have with it is, it all gets back to Danzig, because the winner and the runner-up are both sons of Invincible Spirit, the real speed horse in Europe. Profitable is, I think, won the King Stand Stakes, G1, and stands for Sheikh Mohammed. He's a G1 winner by Invincible Spirit. And then Twilight Gleaming is by National Defense, another G1 winner by Invincible Spirit. Of course, Kodiak, same Danzig line, too. But the top two are big advertisements for Invincible Spirit, and the winner is, the first crop runner.
And she could not have been more impressive. And the thing that really seemed to stand out was the way Gary Carroll rode her. Just, basically kept Twilight Gleaming within sight. Artos was, also prominent on the far side and stayed on nicely to hold fourth. But one of the themes we saw yesterday, the high, the high numbered, the gate, the rail side, the near side, continues to be strong. That may change with some weather apparently coming in for the next couple of days, but at least for now, it seems like you want to be on that side, and those are the horses to look to, especially for value. This meet, Sid, what are these wins? We know what Wesley, what it's meant for him. To your way of thinking, when you hear people talking around the Royal Ascot topic, how influential is it?
It's really prestigious. I mean, you got some of the most prestigious races there. The Prince of Wales is this today. Even this race, Queen Mary, it's a really historic race. Mumtaz Mahal won this race. Great Broodmare. Lady Aurelia more recently. But, these are really prestigious races. And as Americans have been really had a resurgence in interest in racing at this particular meet. It goes with all the pomp and circumstance. You get these people putting on their, top hats and morning suits. And, a lot of Americans just, I just love to go there and, enjoy this, this prestige and being in proximity to the Queen. And, it's part of this thing about racing and Americans you know, at the top, you know, they love that kind of stuff, and a lot of them. You know, in the older days, you know, going back to the 70s and all that, you always had Americans racing in Europe. I mean, all through the last century, too. You know, Paul Mellon, John Galbraith, Raymond Goepp, you know, they all won Epsom Derby. But they were a different kind of owner. Now it's, you know, there's more flash involved, and so that prestige really drives American interest, and there you have it, a 1-2 finish for American interest, as you pointed out, in this race.
Now, got plenty of opportunity as the day wears on. I've got kind of a narrow group in the Prince of Wales this year, with especially with Lord North coming out because of the hard ground. But North American audience is going to be very familiar with Adaria as well as Love in here. And then after we get off the air later this early afternoon, you're going to look toward 12:35, the Windsor Castle, where Wesley will try again. And Wesley and Frankie Dettori on the Ribchester Filly Ruthin, going to be wearing the 28 and leaving from the 12 gate. And also, Wesley's also got who's the other one that I know he's got the second. Who is the second? Wesley, I hate that this
Wesley's
is on.
Got so many.
Yeah, Golden Bell. Golden Bell. I skipped over her. The Macho Uno filly with Johnny. The 26 saddle cloth leaving from the 12 post. So after we wrap up today at noon, you'll have the Windsor Castle. And Sid, you know, just a little 10-minute get together. One thing I have not done, haven't had a chance. The final day of the sale on Friday, and you know, diving into action on Monday, and then the Royal Ascot yesterday, sale was, as kind of predicted, very strong, and particularly the middle ground seemed to firm up pretty well.
Yeah, you know, it did, but I can't even remember what happened. Now I was there, but it was a good sale.
That's pretty funny.
You know, things happen so fast and furiously in his business, Steve, that, you know, just last week is a blur. But, yeah, it was, all jokes aside, you know, solidly the prices at the top and solid enough. And, you know, what really made me think about this sale, and by the way, just as an aside, I wrote about a stallion that was a big price at this sale a few years back, Valiant Minister, Sanchez Bridlewood. My column comes out in TDN now on Thursday instead of Friday, so it'll be out today. But what really struck me about this sale when I was there was, you know, I saw some $1,000 horses selling, and I just couldn't help but think, Steve, about Medina Spirit coming out of the sale for $35,000, obviously, but he's been a $1,000 yearling. The sale is, you know, it's a legitimate sale. I mean, Donato Lani was there in June, you know, looking at everything. I ran into him over there, among others. But, you know, it just tells you that regardless of prices, people really have taken the sale to another level, because the way the two-year-old marketplace is now, it's okay to give a horse some time to mature, they say. You know, guys, if they have a problem, you know, we can always come to June, which is the last stop, basically. But, you know, even this horse I wrote about, Valiant Minister, right? Donato Lani actually bought him at the sale, $680,000. He's a beautiful 17-hand horse, and he worked 9 4/5 over there in 2016, I believe. Candy Rideson. So I think the biggest takeaway I got is that, you know, Medina Spirit is added to it, but, you know, this is a really legit sale, and people don't mind pushing these two-year-olds back a few months. Everything doesn't have to sell in March or April, and I think the sale is going to really grow from that philosophy.
It also seemed to me, I reported on Thursday and quickly on Friday into the weekend, just in the first 2 days, there was a real variety. There was a variety of buyers, and you look through, just looking, let's say, at the top, whatever, 15 or 20. Practical Joke Philly, top the sale, Gary Young, 425, Nyquist. This was another Philly. In fact, Phillies were very popular. They all think all 3 days you had Phillies that maybe, yeah, I think so. I think all 3 days Phillies were the session leaders. There was a Frosted Philly, 410 mm-hmm. to Mike Ryan, Quality Road yeah. Colt. Here's an Uncle Mo Philly, McLean's Music, 350. McLean's Music had a terrific sale coming off of a huge weekend. In fact, John Sakura is supposed to join us this week. We'll probably get John tomorrow. A Dialed In Philly, 350. Hard Spun Colt, 335. Classic Empire Philly, 300 to West Point. You had 10 different buyers in the, you know, basically take down the top 10, and no duplicates among the top 10, 11, 12 even, among sires. So there were some first crop sires, some second and third crops. It was really a I don't want to say hodgepodge, in a good way.
Yeah, and also, I'll tell you what, the place was packed. Place was really packed, so you could tell, you know, that you could see why there's, even for retro offerings, you know, people came to buy horses, and, you know, I was actually surprised at how jam-packed it was.
Well, terrific numbers.
They've done a great job.
Well, that's Tom, you know, Tom Ventura has, you know, just been tireless, and this sale, you know, you get, like you suggested, there, you need the consigners to show up, you know, with the, you know, with the Nyquist, the Quality Roads, the Uncle Mo's, you know, those kinds of names, you know, yeah. Notably, you know, to have the kind of numbers they did, you know, there's no Tappets in here and so forth, you know, it's a, this was a fill your order, basically fill your stable kind of a sale. People, you know, people needed to bring home horses to get stocked up for the 2-year-old season.
That's exactly right.
Well, there is one more. There is this Santa Anita sale that is out there, and I'm sure there's a few horses that. You know, going to be sold privately yet as the 2-year-old season at Saratoga and Del Mar looms, as well as Ellis Park. Don't want to leave Ellis out because Ellis has got a terrific 2-year-old program. Sid, yeah. I know you've got a 10:30, so I will let you get where you need to get.
Okay, great.
All right.
Good talking, Steve.
I just wanted to connect and get some thoughts. And
appreciate it.
Not at all. Sid Fernando, everybody. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And, of course, with the breeding season, you know, pretty well wrapped up at this point, obviously, there might be one or two mares that are that are hanging on to babies still. But I hope not. You don't want to go, too much longer if you haven't already. But get a hold of Sid. Work Thoroughbred Consultants. 510-490-1111. And let's turn to the Queen's Vaz. Let's get you priced up here. And first of all, Kevin is interested in Wordsworth, the 14. Wordsworth, 2-1 favorite, kind of acquiescing, and just calls him logical. Ruling, though, the 11, 7-1, O'Shane Murphy for Joseph O'Brien for Qatar Racing. And Law of the Sea, who I think is a decent price. Yeah, 16-1 on the Gosden Godolphin James Doyle Golden Horn Colt, Law of the Sea, the 8, 16-1. So Kev, 14-11-8 for Kev, and the 2-1 Wordsworth, the Galileo for Coolmore, and Aiden, your favorite, and Kamari for Appleby, and Dancing King for Mark Johnston. Dancing King, in fact, 9-2, has actually been cut in price by half. 9-2, Dancing King the 3, and Kamari 7-1. Those are your top three choices heading into this. Let me make sure. I got to get the vid back on. Here we go. They're loading up as we get ready for the second. Here we go. The Queen's Vase. And we're going to go a mile and three. Mile and three quarters in here. The for whatever reason, that's the Qatari horse right there, that burgundy jacket. Not sure why the action. Why is he not describing? We've got another. In fact, the Qatari is a little recalcitrant here to load. There it goes. Ruling. Well, if there's going to be a race call, they're going to keep it simple and not getting a race call here. I don't know why. Yeah, I had a feeling.
Law of the Sea, blue with a white cap, James Doyle coming up to take the early lead. Taipan, purple, light green star chasing the pace with the Queen's runner Pied Piper and Robert Havlin with Ruling in the Claret and Recovery Run. The best turned out winner, light blue jacket on the outside, just settling in a share of fourth alongside Wordsworth. Dancing King and Dirham Emirati and Arturo Toscanini towards the back. Benno is one from last and Stoll is two lengths behind Benno, last of all. As they head away from us with Law of the Sea with the advantage, Law of the Sea leading the way to Kamari and Wordsworth, just waiting in behind them with a Dancing Flame and a Golden Flame, I should say, to the outside. Recovery Run is deeper out, followed by Taipan. Pied Piper in midfield with O'Sheen Murphy on board, Ruling. The Claret colours, the dark blue, Arturo Toscanini, one of Aidan O'Brien's representatives. A race he's won seven times. Mark Johnston's won it seven times as well. His Dancing King is towards the back of the field, the big white face, Benno and Stoll. Stoll running quite keenly, but towards the back under Frankie Dettori as the field have completed their first six furlongs, a mile to run, and at Swinley Bottom it is Law of the Sea in front, followed by Golden Flame in second position, Kamari, and then Recovery Run on the outside of Wordsworth, and then Taipan, Ruling. Pied Piper is next, ahead of Dancing King and Arturo Toscanini. And the back couple, Stoll, Dirham Emirati, and Benno is just about in last under Colin Keane as the field are shortly going to run inside their final six furlongs in the 2021 Queen's Vase. And it's Law of the Sea still in front of Golden Flame in second position. Recovery Run. Kamari on the inners just getting nudged along with Wordsworth in behind. The brother of 2018 winner Kew Gardens. Taipan is next with Ruling and Pied Piper. Arturo Toscanini with Dancing King, Dirham Emirati, Stoll and Benno still the back markers as they're running towards the four furlong marker, the field separated by about 10 lengths as they're shortly going to turn for home with Law of the Sea continuing to lead here to Golden Flame in second. Recovery Run has been to the outside throughout, is there in third, then Kamari. Ryan Moore is scrubbing away in fifth on Wordsworth at the moment. Then Ruling and Pied Piper switching to the outside. Taipan is trying to stay on with Arturo Toscanini. Law of the Sea in front here. Golden Flame is flat out. Kamari is coming to mount a promising looking challenge. Ruling is following. Recovery Run. Wordsworth to the outside, staying on. Stoll is picking up, almost widest of all, as they run towards the last furlong here. And it's Kamari and William Buick with the commanding advantage in the Queen's Vase. It's Kamari that leads the way. Wordsworth staying on with Stoll, and then Law of the Sea and Dancing King. But Kamari is still in front by 2.5 lengths. Wordsworth staying on powerfully, but Kamari is clear and wins the Queen's Vase. Kamari too in second position. Wordsworth, Stoll was staying on. Law of the Sea, Benno and Dancing King also doing some fine late work.
Well, Kamari and this Godolphin and Appleby and William Buick, certainly connections that are not require any introduction. But this is going to end up being the 6 with the 14, the 12, that was Stowell, and Law of the Sea looked to hold fourth after leading, and actually the head of the straight looked like Law of the Sea might kind of sneak away, but really didn't. And Kamari, that was a terrific ride. 6:14, let me get this down, 6:14, 12, and 8 in the second, the Queen's Vase. All right, there you go. We'll look ahead about half an hour to the Duke of Cambridge. Right now, Case, get a hold of, reach for Claudia if you would, because I know she's on a tight, everybody's on a tight schedule today. Except for Seth Merrow. He won't be on a tight schedule. No, actually, let's see, what's today, Wednesday? Will Seth be on TV on Wednesdays? I'm not sure. If he's got TV today. While we wait, let me give you the numbers from the first. And Quick Susie, 16.20. And on the each way, $4 to place a show. Twilight Gleaming, 2.80, who went off as the favorite, of course, in the Queen Mary. And then Cheer Up, Sleepy Jean, 24.80 on your each way bet. 24.80, and Artos too, 5.60. So the best swinger was Quick Susie with Cheer Up, Sleepy Jean. Makes sense. 209, that was for $2, and the exacta, the U.S. exacta, Quick Susie and Twilight Gleaming, $56. If you went that way. So, second race in the books at Royal Ascot, and we'll make the very smooth transition from Royal Ascot to Fort Erie, who kicked off their season yesterday. And I absolutely, everybody knows, I love a great story, and I saw one right away looking through the results yesterday at Fort Erie, because you had Claudia Rabstein for owner breeder Zig Grigsteins and jockey Pierre Mayotte. 3 horses yesterday to open the season at Fort Erie, and 2 wins, including the Summer Cup Stake and a second. And Claudia, that's about your production. You only start about 25 to 40 runners or starts a year, and 2 wins on opening day and a second. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. We were tickled pink.
I can imagine. this is your season, right? You just basically run at Fort Erie?
We basically run at Fort Erie, the occasional run at Woodbine if the horses are good enough. We only have 5 horses in the stable. That's why you see so few starts.
Sure.
But yeah, they came out running yesterday.
You basically take the winter off too, and gear up. And of course, you know, much like Woodbine, and for everybody in Ontario, you were kind of at the mercy of the health officials and the PG. How did you bide your time and have them so ready for yesterday?
We started back in February gearing them up on the farm, and we weren't sure when things were going to open up for us. So we had a couple works at Woodbine early in April, and then that got kiboshed by the pandemic. They weren't going to open, and so we just kind of had to stall and keep our horses at a fit level, which is tough to do sometimes too. But it certainly showed well yesterday.
And let's frame this all up too with Zig and you know, you're obviously, you know, you obviously do other things beside, you know, train and race. You know, talk about your background and lay out that portion of the story.
Well, my husband and I have been training in Fort Erie for close to 30 years. My husband's Henry Whalen.
Okay.
And we used to have quite a large stable here, but with the shutdown of the slots to racetrack program that used to go on, a lot of our owners moved away or got out of the business. And so we went from 30 head down to 5 or 6. We've had Dickie Grinstein's been a client of ours for close to 30 years. He's in his 80s. He breeds the odd horse here and there, and we usually have young horses for him that take a while to get to the races. Like you saw with Gunner, he didn't get to the races till late last year. He's just a late developer, and he showed up yesterday. So I work for the local feed company full-time. So that's what I do. I go into the track and help Henry out, get the horses out and trained, and then he does them up and drops me off at work, and I come back at the end of the day, and we go and feed, and that's pretty much our day.
I love it, and you know, talk about your origins in the sport, and you know, how that, you know, how'd you even get to the racetrack?
How did I even get to the racetrack?
Yeah, originally, what drew you to the game?
Oh, originally, when I was very young, I worked for Harry Hindmarsh. Like, I lived in the town where Harry Hindmarsh had his breeding facility, so I worked there, and then I moved further south. To St. Catharines, and horses were just in my blood, so I ended up working for George Frostad at his breeding farm for a while.
Wow.
And then I ended up being asked to come to the 40-year racetrack to work for Edward Freeman, and that's where I met my husband, Henry, and the rest is we started training on our own, and that's the rest of it.
I love it. That's tremendous. I just thought this was too nice to not, you know, not reach out and Fort Erie, just the fact that Fort Erie has been able to carve out a future is a nice story.
Yes, it is. It's wonderful. It's such a family-oriented racetrack, and it's such a wonderful thing to be a part of. Everybody that's there, everybody's so happy when you do win a good race, and even though we're competing with each other all the time, we still all love each other back there.
Well, the win here, and in fact, Gunzig Stinger was the winner, and a mild upset, was actually second choice at almost 7-1, and you know, kind of sparred with the 2-5 favorite, that Red Mercury of Paul LePans, and then prevailed essentially. Tell me about Pierre too, Pierre Mayotte.
Pierre's been galloping for us the last couple of years. He helps us break our babies, and we help him get fit in the spring. So he's very loyal to us and rides our horses for us. And he does a lot to teach those horses to become good horses. So he's been getting on Gunner since he was quite young.
Well, a four-year-old and a gelding, and he actually, you can understand why he got a little bit of a late start. You started him last year in September, and it's funny because he was second three times as a three-year-old, but he had been a May foal. I'm just guessing, was he a little,
that was exactly
backward?
It. He was a big horse and just had a lot of growing issues, really. That's all it was. We didn't get him there till September.
Well, you also recognized pretty quickly after a couple of starts at a lower level, you realized you couldn't keep dangling this one, you know, as a maiden claimer, and you moved him up to maiden special company and was second again, and then got the winter to grow some more, and looks like he's going to be okay as a 4-year-old.
He's by a decent Ontario
signature
Pride,
red,
actually, and he's
Sure.
And he's quite handsome. He's got a large young girl following on the backside. They all want to buy him as a riding horse when he's finished. But he is handsome, and yeah, that was kind of it. He doesn't show a lot in the morning, so we weren't sure where to start with him, and we thought, well, we'll start slow because he's not really winning his workouts, and he just keeps getting better.
Well, and it's got to be so, you know, not just win two races, but winning this little stake to start the season too. And
Ziggy's over the moon. I'm so happy for him.
I love it. And yeah, I'm looking at his record as an owner, and you know, to win two races is nice too. But you know, he's won his share of races, but you know, he hasn't really had a big horse. I mean, he's had some, you know, some nice winners, but he just kind of has dabbled, it seems.
He's one of the best horses we ever trained for him was a horse called Connect With Me. He had a ton of talent, but it was extremely difficult to keep him sound. So he breeds to some obscure sires. This one maybe not so obscure, but I think Gunner's going to be a nice little horse for him in the future.
Well,
and he claimed a really nice filly at Golden Sense Filly that won the other race yesterday too. She's quite nice.
Oh really? I didn't even look at the. I wasn't even looking at the claiming results.
Yeah, she won the fifth race for him.
Oh, that Words of Gold, you mean that came out of that came out of a claim. I gotcha.
Yes, we claimed her at Woodbine at the end of last year for Ziggy, and kept it. We were with the intention of running her back at Woodbine, but it canceled early, and we didn't get a chance to get her back in the entries.
Well, and that. Tell you what, that horse looks okay too. Words of Gold. Good job.
I'm just giving her a little plug. She's pretty nice.
Too funny. I should mention that the other stake, the Summer Cup, which Claudia won with Gunzig Stinger, the nightcap, the 12th race, lost Corsage at a big price, actually 17-1. Daniel Wills, and in fact, I think. Did he win? I think he won two races yesterday, too, Dan Wills.
He did. We were in a race, in the sixth race together, and the winner came down, was disqualified, and he ran second and I ran third. That's how we ended up. He got a win and I got a second.
Well, that's about as great a day, whether it's opening day or not. That's about as great a way to start a season and win two and get a second out of it. How many other faces? I mean, when you run three on opening day and you've only got five or six, right?
I have an up-and-coming three-year-old filly by Conquest Curl and H. She's still working on getting her gate card, so she's not quite ready yet. She's also owned by Ziggy. And I have a non-winners of three filly by Not Bourbon, and she was fairly powerful in Fort Erie last year, so I'm just struggling to get her into the entries at this point.
Give us the names of those two to watch for.
Oh, Not a Hausfrau.
Not a Hausfrau? That's cute.
Not a Hausfrau. I didn't name her. And the other one is Ring Them Bells.
That's a cute name. Ring Them Bells.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And then we've got a couple yearlings on the farm, too, so there's more to come.
Well, does everything run in your name, or does your husband send some out these days in his name, too?
No, not in his name anymore. He's semi-retired, but he runs the barn, and he runs the dinner table, and he's my right-hand man. I wouldn't be anywhere without him.
I love it. Well, Claudia, I thought it was irresistible to celebrate the start of the season at Fort Erie and, of course, Prince of Wales later in the fall, in the early fall. But best of luck the rest of the way. It's going to be tough to better the day that you had yesterday.
Yeah, Dan and I were joking this morning about being co-owners of the leading trainer title for the day. But I'm pretty sure we'll be beat out next weekend, so
it doesn't matter.
But for now, we can bask in the glory of that. So
exactly right. Claudia Ravstein, Ziggy Grinsteins, the owner, breeder, and Jacques Pierre Mayotte. two wins on opening day at Fort Erie. Well done, Claudia. Continued success.
Thank you so much.
Not at all. Claudia, and this is a fun story. Claudia Rabstein, and two wins in a second to start the meet and a stake win as well. So let's do this. Coming up on the bottom of the hour, and we've got going to have breaking news, I think, here at the bottom of the hour that we'll deal with. And speaking of news, yesterday as we head out, got Jamie Nicholson's going to join us here in just a couple of minutes. But there's also, I think, I just got word, and we'll get to that at the bottom of the hour. But there was also the news yesterday that I'm sure, people began to chepper about and discuss, and that was the news regarding the potential of the Stronach Group / First Racing to take on suitors. They are obviously involved in some discussions. Unclear, based on the reporting, whether the whole entity or portions of the entity might be sold. Some speculation I've heard elsewhere that, you know, the potential for maybe taking on a different kind of partner in the sports betting landscape. Hard to know, but certainly the headline and the subsequent thoughts about it. The Bloomberg offered it the headline this way: as Stronach Group exploring options after fielding interest. And let's just see how it unfolds. We'll have, I think, a news story to discuss literally at 10:30. Back after this at the race's second half on this Wednesday, day two of Royal Ascot, and looking ahead to the Duke of Cambridge next in about 13 or 14 minutes. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate